passage this morning comes from Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there with me. Romans chapter 13. I'm reading from the New International Version today. Hear now the word of our Lord. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to government. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Well, this morning, I'm going to be talking about something that is a little less popular. I'm sure you have not heard many sermons on this particular passage, because no one likes hearing scripture that tells us, respect the government and pay your taxes. Needless to say, this is, I'm sure, verse 6 and 7 is no one's favorite Bible verses in the scriptures. But I feel the need this morning to preach on this passage because, in case any of you were living under a rock for the last 6 months or so, we had an election this past week. The election happened on Tuesday, and contrary to what everyone thought, we actually knew the results pretty quickly. And it became pretty obvious, at least for the presidency, who had won by the end of the day on Tuesday, or at least by Wednesday morning. I'll admit, I didn't watch the news at all on Tuesday night. I didn't want to pay attention to any of that. But Wednesday morning, I looked it up, and sure enough, it had already been called. And so that was a surprise for a lot of people. And as a result, Wednesday morning, there were a lot of people in this country who were celebrating, and there were a lot of people in this country who were grieving. There were people who were very pleased with the results, not just of the presidential election, but all of the elections on Tuesday. And there were people who were devastated by the results of the election on Tuesday. And I'm not going to presume to know where any of you fall in that spectrum. I know a few of you, where a few of you land, because you've already told me, but I'm not going to assume anything this morning. And I also want to preface the fact that regardless of what happened on Tuesday, this sermon was going to be the same no matter what. I planned this before the election results, and if things had turned out the opposite way, I would have been preaching the exact same sermon this morning. Also, I'm wearing both colors. Just so you know, I was not trying to make any kind of political statement this morning. And, of course, there's white in my tie, so I'm just here patriotic, right? White and blue, there you go. But as we look at the results of the election, as we look at the upcoming inauguration in January, I know that there are going to be a lot of people on the edge of their seats. A lot of people are worried that there's going to be a repeat of something that happened 4 years ago. I pray not. And a lot of people are afraid that reason that I thought it was important to preach from this passage this morning, because as we look at the opening of Romans chapter 13, it begins with this line: "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority established, or no authority except that which God has established." I want you to take a moment and consider the authority of all of our elected leaders. That authority is given to them by the Constitution. The Constitution sets very strict guidelines as to what authorities they have and what authorities they don't have. But the writers of our Constitution knew something that a lot of people today seem to have forgotten. And that is that there would be no authority in government or anywhere else unless God had granted it. We see this reflected in Jesus' conversation with Pontius Pilate during his trial. Pilate said to him, "Don't you know I have the authority to kill you or set you free?" Do you remember what Jesus' response to Pilate was in that moment? "You have no authority except that which the Father in heaven has given to you." Speaking to the man who had the authority to sign his death warrant, Jesus spoke to the truth that all authority in heaven and on earth comes from God and God alone. And that includes the authority of our founding fathers to write the Constitution and enshrine the authorities that have been given to our elected leaders today. And because of that, the authority that the president has comes from God, whether you like the president or not. That's true of our current president. That's true of our future president. And that's true of every president we have ever had. And yes, there have been some presidents in history who I like more than others. But our presidents have their authority from God. They've been elected under the processes set out in the Constitution, the authority of which, again, comes from God. And so because of that, we are supposed to respect our leaders, whether we like them or not. Nowhere in here does it say you have to like our leaders. But we do have to respect them and honor their authority. And so that being said, I don't want to hear a single member of this congregation say the words, "That's not my president." Regardless of who it is in history, whether you're speaking of the current president or the upcoming president, they were elected, they were inaugurated, they're your president, and the authority comes from God. So I don't want to hear those words out of anybody in our congregation. And you won't hear me say those words. Because whether we like them or not, in respecting and honoring the authority of our president, and any of our elected leaders for that matter, we are honoring God. Because when God created this world, he created order. And that's one thing that is different about the creation story in Genesis from a lot of the other creation stories in mythology, and even from the creation story, if you want to call it that, of the secularists. Because they see out of nothing chaos, and out of chaos creation. But when you look at Genesis, we see that out of chaos, God called order. God did not create chaos. He created order. And when he created Adam and Eve, he gave them authority to rule over the creation. And then as things went on, as the world fell deeper and deeper into sin, God saw a need for there to be order once again. they need in order to govern their people. And this includes not only those of Israel, but those of other nations as well. There's actually a passage in the book of Isaiah which calls Cyrus the Great. You remember Cyrus the Great? You know, he conquered all of Babylon. He set up the Persian Empire. Very famous in ancient history. And the book of Isaiah actually names Cyrus the Great as the hand of God. It does. I believe it is. No, that's not right. It's not that chapter. I don't remember what chapter it is. Look it up after the service. Your friend Google will be able to help you out. But Cyrus, a pagan leader who ruled over a conquered Judah, was called the hand of God. And in the book of Daniel, which we just talked about this in Bible study this past week, we see that God sent one of his angels to protect Darius the Mede. So we see God blessing and protecting leaders of people. People in authority. Because God created us for order. Calls us to follow and obey the laws of the land and not call for anarchy. Because when we disobey those whom God has given authority to, we disobey God. Now I will say there is one exception. Only one. The only exception in all of Scripture to this command to follow the authorities of the proper authorities of those placed above you. And that is if they order you or command you to do something that is contrary to Scripture. That is the only exception. And yet, people seem to think that they can fight back against anybody they disagree with. And try to say that God is ordained. Well, as of yet, there's not been a law passed in this country that orders any of us to contradict Scripture. There are some that may be borderline. There are some that obviously are not in line with Scripture, but just because a law allows something to happen doesn't order you to do it. And so until that day comes, we are called to honor and respect those placed in authority over us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 9, the prophet Jeremiah, writing to those who are in exile, tells them that they should work for the benefit of the city that they are in. Now these are people who are living in exile, far from where God had, or where God desired them to be. They're far from the promised land. They're living in exile. They're living under a pagan ruler. And yet, they're told, build houses, get married, have kids, get your kids married, and work for the benefit of the city and nation where I have placed you. And the same goes for us as well. We are called to work for the benefit of our communities. We are called to work for the good of our cities, our states, our nation. We are to do so for the glory of God. Now, even though we are all here, citizens living here in this country, as Christians, we have another citizenship as well. And that is our true citizenship, and that citizenship is in heaven. And so in many ways, since we are citizens of heaven living in this world, we are just like the people of Israel and Judah who are living in exile in Babylon.
And like them, we are called to work for the good of our nation and for our nation's leaders. In the book of Daniel, we have a story of one of the most faithful followers of God in all of Scripture. I mean, he didn't care if his life was at risk or not. He was going to honor God. He was going to follow God's law. Never once did he compromise himself in the entire book. And we see him working for the king that conquered them. The king that carried him off into exile. And yet Daniel worked for him. He advised him. He prayed for him. And never once did he speak out against him. Except in bringing him the words that God had already given. Daniel could have been one of the most bitter men in all of Babylon. He was taken away from his home, forced to embrace this foreign culture. And yet we see him working alongside his captors, working for the benefit of them. Joseph, we see in Egypt doing the same thing. He was sold into slavery. He worked for the benefit of his slavers. He prayed for his captors and for the Pharaoh. We too are called to pray for our leaders. And if we don't like our leaders, maybe we should pray for them even more. There's a saying that a member of one of the churches I served in Illinois liked to say often, that if you don't like the leader you have, pray for him. If you don't like who you have, pray for the one you got. Of course, he said the same thing about pastors. Brothers and sisters, we are called to pray for our elected leaders. Now that doesn't mean we stop speaking truth. Because there are times throughout Scripture, even when living under foreign rule, if the leaders said something that was just wrong or did something that was just wrong, guess what? God's people spoke out. John Baptist got beheaded for it. He spoke out against Herod because Herod did something that was morally wrong. By the way, this is not the Herod that killed all of the babies, or baby boys in Bethlehem. This is his son who married his sister-in-law before his brother died. Yeah. Interesting little bit of history there. And John the Baptist spoke out against that. He was imprisoned for it. But he would not compromise what he knew to be true. And we see countless times through Scripture where people spoke out even when it wasn't right. Or even when it was a risk to them. That's what I meant to say. But yet, what did Jesus do as he hung on the cross, dying? He prayed for those who crucified him. As we look at martyrs throughout history, we see them praying for the kings and rulers who are executing them. And likewise, we are to pray for those who have been put in authority over us. And so I'm going to ask all of you, at least between now and the end of January, but preferably longer, to pray for President Biden and Vice President Harris as they finish their term, and pray for President-elect Trump and his Vice President Vance as they prepare to take office. I don't care if you like them. You can hate them. I don't care. Pray for them. And when you hear people trying to stir up this conflict. When you hear people trying to incite rebellion, tell them to stop. Pray for peace. And encourage others to pursue peace as well. We're celebrating also today Veterans Day. And the fact that we have the freedoms that we have in this country is thanks to all of those brave men and women who gave of themselves so that we might have the freedoms we enjoy in this country. Don't dishonor their service by spitting in the face of those freedoms. Now, I said this was not going to be a popular message. It's popular today to throw stones at each other. To speak hatred. But let us, instead of speaking hatred, speak blessings, even over those we don't like. God said, pray for your enemies. And so if one of those that was elected this past Tuesday is someone you consider to be an enemy, pray for them all the more. Pray that God's will be done in this nation. We know that their authority comes from God. Our job as Christians is to pray that they remember that. Let us pray that all of our elected leaders will use their authority in a godly manner. We'll use the authority that has been entrusted to them to bring our nation closer to God instead of further away. Let's pray for peace in our nation and in all the nations of the world. Because when that final trumpet blast sounds, it won't matter who was sitting in the White House at the time or in the halls of Congress. What will matter is what is in our hearts. Honor God by honoring, respecting, and praying for our leaders. So when that final trumpet blast sounds, we can hold our heads high and sing praises to the true King of Kings, the one who is above all other leaders in this world, and to whom at the end of all time every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess.